Well, last week I had shared about there is a way, and it was going to take us seeking God and to seek Him while He still can be found by you before you get yourself so lost into things of this world or possibly back into the sin of this world and the things in your life that you get yourself so far removed from Him that it's really just you're going head over heels the wrong way. Hopefully we've not been that far to where we've gone head over heels the wrong way. Possibly there are some here that feel that way. But today I want to look at the title of From Dismay to a Way. It's kind of continuing to build off of that. And it's God's way. You know, the Saulite up there says, going God's way, choosing to follow God's plan. You can put all kinds of signs up there with a road and a separation and a sign saying God's way or your way, which way are you going to go? And I would hope we would all choose His way. Amen. We find dismay. The King James Dictionary says this: it's to deprive of that strength or firmness of mind which constitutes courage. To deprive. So it's you're missing that. And it would fall along the lines of discouragement. To dishearten. To sink or depress the spirits or resolution. To be of a fright, terrified. Here again, life will take us down that path. But to be dismayed is to be deprived of that strength or that firmness of your mind. And you know what? The enemy of this world, the God of this world, you know, he wants to really give us that lack of strength, that lack of courage to hang on. Dismay. And another part says to fall or loss of courage. A sinking of the spirits, depressing, dejection, yielding to fear. We find many people, instead of yielding to courage and yielding to the power and the strength of God, a lot of times all of a sudden they flip and they begin to yield to discouragement. They begin to yield to fear and depression. Oh my goodness, it's disheartening at times to talk to people of faith and people in our churches and to find out many times how many are dealing with discouragement, dealing with depression, dealing with fear. You know, it's these things that we're not just talking about the population outside the kingdom of God. We're talking about people in the kingdom of God. Because we know that the enemy is going to go out and he's going to do what he can to anybody and everybody, whether you're in the world or you're in the kingdom, right? He's got one job. And just to create havoc. We find in that being dismayed, Joshua, and we're going to go back there towards the end of the message here, but Joshua 1 talks about, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, you know. Be not dismayed, be not depressed in the spirit, or disheartened, or discouraged, or afraid. Joshua was sharing that with those around him. As I shared last week, I've already talked about there is a way, but it would be not our way because it comes from God. And that's in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. That was last week. We talked about, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far from beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I can just stop right there and thank God. Hallelujah. I am so thankful that I've got someone, I've got my God, my Heavenly Father, that I can trust and realize and know by many things in His Scriptures, but also just knowing the time I've been with Him, but He's even telling us that His ways are not my ways, His thoughts are not mine, they're higher than mine. You know, you guys and all of us, ladies, gals, all of us, we need higher thoughts in our life. We need to think highly of the things that we're going through. We need to have God always on the forefront of our thoughts and what we're going through. So I want to encourage us that even if we are currently dismayed, there's a way that God has for us to follow. We need to remember that if the devil wants to bring fear upon us, God will give us boldness. He will be giving us courage. He will calm or bring peacefulness to us. And that's just a list of few. That's the God that I serve. How about you? As all of these things that come on negatively to us, there's the opposite side of that God says, I have prepared for you. And so don't think on these things that the enemy wants to put on you. And even though you may truly say, but I see it, I feel it, I experience it in the natural right now, the fear, the dismay, or whatever it might be, but you've got to trust and believe that God is there and that God will see you through. Remember we had talked in Psalm 77:19, I think, where, you know, talking about the children of Israel last week, and the New Living Testament said that about that particular verse, said that he made a path where there was no path. And in our lives today, and in your life this week, maybe this life coming up, or your life this week coming up, that there's a path out there that God has prepared for you, and you've just got to be knowing where that's at. And how are you going to know where that's at unless you stay connected to who? God. Jesus Christ. Connected through the Holy Spirit. Hearing from God day in and day out. Turn left, turn right, stop, don't go. Whatever the case might be. Hallelujah. I mean, if we're willing to listen to some of these GPS people tell us how to drive and turn, we ought to be willing to at least listen to God too, you know. You're hearing that voice and you're saying, well, I can trust this voice because it's coming out of this little thing, or it's coming out of my phone, so I should be able to trust it. But do I see it? Do I see that lady in there somewhere? Who is she, you know? But I trust it. Turn here, stop there, right there. And then, I tell you what, many times, if God would be as persistent as that person is, to where when you miss your turnoff, it goes crazy. Turn around. Turn at the next turn. Turn. You miss that turn. Turn at the next turn. Turn, you know. And then after that, he'll say, oh, you've passed it by so much. Recalculating. You know, sometimes in our life, we've got to be recalculated, because we totally get off that direction that God has for us. And so God says, okay, Tim, recalculating. Here's where we go from here. Oh, Lord, may I be sensitive to that recalculation, because it's probably a higher thought than what I have. It's not my way. But anything that the devil wants to put on us, remember that God has something to give us on the opposite. Many followers of Christ today deal with dismay in the forms of depression and terror, dejection. The list goes on. God will give us that ability to withstand any of those feelings that the devil puts on us, or he tries to put on us. And the thing is, the devil's going to continue to try to put these things on you in your subconscious until you do something. And what is that? Get out of my life, devil. Get thee behind me. I'm tired of dealing with you. I know that there's a better way, and God is going to be my way. I know that God was with me 5 years ago through a situation, and now it's coming through another situation, and the devil comes in and says, well, maybe he's not going to be the same God that dealt with you 2 years ago. What happens if he's not aware of what you're going through, or he doesn't care? That's the lies of the enemy, right? Trying to give you discouragement, disheartenment, trying to give you dismay, to become afraid, to get you into depression, dejection, all these things. Now, when he sees a little bit taking root, he just wants to water it even more. And that's when you've got to, when you begin to start hearing the devil tell you to do things, you better act quickly and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Enough is enough. My God is for me. My God has me predestined for something of a fantastic purpose in his kingdom. Get your hands off of me, devil. But we can only battle those things from the devil by keeping God in the center of our lives. And that center of your life is not just Sunday morning between 10:30 and 12. It's in the center of your life 24 hours a day, 7 days every day of the year. On and going and on going and on going. So regarding fear, Matthew, it's all a familiar story with us. Matthew 14. And if you turn to Matthew 14, you can jump over to 22. Now, this is where Jesus has come out of feeding the 5,000. And he's telling them, you know, he's getting ready to go across or go up and kind of relax a little bit there. And there's such an encouragement in, and even in reading back to where it talks about feeding of the 5,000, because they had just enough for a few, and they were concerned about that. But Jesus said there's enough to fill them all and to have enough. And we know that there was leftovers after that. And so Sometimes in our lives today, as we go through things, we might have some things before us that we can use, but we'll look at it and we'll go, but I don't think it's enough. I don't know what more I'm going to need. I think I'm going to need more of whatever it is, Lord, to deal with this. And if we would just have the faith that what Jesus had to say, bring me those fish and those loaves, and he blessed it and multiplied it, and he handed it out. Your situation today looks like it's insurmountable. What you have at your beck and call, or what you have at your physical needs to have, you're saying it may not be enough, or it is not enough. I know it's not enough. But you got to begin to look at it in a spiritual sense and by faith to realize that God can work miraculous things. We're looking at it now. He comes off of all of that, and now immediately after Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, this is verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Wow, even Jesus getting away from it all. Huh. And now when evening had come, he was alone. But when the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and for the wind was contrary. Anything been contrary in your life this week? Have anybody had winds blowing the opposite of where you were wanting to go? Tell you what, it's easy to have a contrary week. It's like it's living, man. You're living. If you're living, you're having some times of contrary weeks. It's like, oh my goodness. So the wind is blowing contrary to where they wanted to go. They're wanting to go one direction. Evidently, the winds are blowing either from side to side, or they're blowing against them where they're just stuck out in the middle of the sea, and they're just rocking and rolling out there with the waves tossed to and fro. But now they were in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 24. Verse 25, now in that fourth watch, sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, and he says this, "Be of good cheer. It is I," or "I am." Do not be, what? Afraid. Dismayed. You know, don't be scared. Be of good cheer. Could be another. Be of encouragement. Or take courage. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. As we go through these contrary times in our weeks, in our life, we've got to be one or both, at least one ear. It's best if you can take two ears, be listening to hear the voice of God. We're going to hear it through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit in us speaking into our spirit. But we're hopefully going to hear, "Tim, don't be afraid. Be encouraged. It is I going to be there with you." And Peter answered him, and he said, "Lord, it is you. Command me to come." And we know that, where he gets on the water and he goes. And immediately Jesus stretches out his hand when he starts sinking, and he catches him and says to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you have doubt?" When they got into the boat and the wind ceased, then those who were in the boat came, and they worshipped him, saying, "Well, truly you are the Son of God. You're not a ghost. Truly that was you, Jesus." He came into their sphere of where they were at, and they realized that it wasn't just an imagination, or it was an image of something, or a ghost. It was Jesus truly out there on the water. And they said, "Well, truly, truly you are the Son of God." But it was only after he came into where they were at, and it was kind of like, I guess if I would look at this, it was like he came into their sphere of where they were at. Until he entered into that boat, they were still probably wondering, is this a ghost, or what in the world is going on? But the whole thing out of that entire passage there to look at for today, it's talking about be of good cheer, or take courage. It's I. Another translation, it's I, would be I am. Didn't God say that in the Old Testament? I am that I am. It's me. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Take courage. To have that courage would be to another definition, would be looking into the definitions of these words, an increased confidence of success. See, we go through our lives many times, and if it's not somebody in the natural, a person that knows us, or maybe a family member, could be a boss or somebody in your business, whatever it might be, It could be a teacher down the road, as far as they might have said something to the point of, you're never going to succeed at anything, or you're not going to be a success. Well, they're putting it on you, and you're going to be hearing that throughout the rest of your life unless you shake it off, unless you believe and know who you are in Christ. But anyway, to give you encouragement would be to increase the confidence of success, to inspire with courage, to inspire the spirit, our strengthen of the mind. You know, we've got to strengthen our mind to be strong. What does God's word tell us? By the renewing of your mind. And he wants to renew that. It talks about have that of the mind of Christ. There's so much of that that's a continuing working going on every day of our lives, of renewing our mind, focusing on God, keeping our thoughts set upon him. To strengthen our mind, to be emboldened, to incite, to in spirit. It's all being encouraged. And I want to share that God will bring that within you. You will become emboldened by the strength of God in you as you allow him to come in you to face those things in your life that are contrary to what's going on at the time in your life. And it's like, it's got to change. My home life has to change. My finances needs to change. My relationships with this, that, or the other needs to change. My health needs to change. These things that are contrary in our lives that are constantly, it seems like we're always out in that middle of that water, and we're just being tossed to and fro, and we can't get to where we want to go. Maybe you can't get back to where you come from, and you're stuck. Many times in our lives today, we get to that point where we get stuck. Anybody ever feel like you're stuck in that situation? I feel like I'm stuck. I can't go. Like my feet are just glued to the floor. I can't go any further. And just the things that keep hitting me, I'm just contrary things, the wind, the waves, whatever the case might be. But be of encouragement that God has that way for you. Again, encourage. I talked about Joshua. You can go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1. We find four times in chapter 1 the same thing. Look at verse 6. What's he saying? Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God is speaking to Joshua. He's saying, be strong and of good courage. Then he goes on to verse 7. Again, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then it ends in verse 18, I think, is one last time that it's shared. Yes, verse 18, last verse of chapter 1. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. It's over and over throughout God's word. Be strong and of good courage. You need to hear that today in the situation that you're in, have been dealing with, or maybe coming towards you sometime in the days ahead. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. These things will come. These things will happen to you. Then the enemy is going to want to get you down to the point of you feel like there's nothing that can be done. The doctor's advice, the doctor's news, the test results, the bank statement. Yeah, you know, it just goes on and on and on. The things that we all have to go through or will go through in this life. But God has a way if we connect to him and stay on his path. We read throughout various scriptures and stories throughout God's word about how he was there to sustain the people and was always there. Good theology, and looking at this in Joshua 1, talks about good theology must always impact the way that we live. Knowing God's word but not knowing how to apply it, it becomes foolishness and it becomes a futility in your life. Many times people go, They know God's word, and they know what it says. Well, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to work with it and actively have it in your life. I would much rather talk to someone that has gone through situations and hard times and to look at them and say, wow, even through all of that, you are still remaining faithful and strong to God. But it's because of where they were at with God and what they gleaned from His scriptures and what the Spirit put into them to hang on. And from their testimony, we are able to say, if they can do it, I think I can do it too. If God says He's no respecter of persons, what He does for one, He'll do for the other. I believe He'll do it for me. But I need to what? Be of good courage, you know. Be strong. I need to stay close to Him. Remember that one thing of last week to where, what did it say? That we are calling on Him right away before we lose track of Him because we get so disarrayed with things and discouraged. And pretty soon, that's the worst thing. If the worst thing, if you're out in the woods and all of a sudden you realize that you're lost, is to just begin running around trying to find your way out. Because a lot of times you'll just go in circles. Things won't make sense. Your mind is not processing, and you just start rambling and running and going. In a situation like that, and I don't know, not that I've ever been lost, but I guess, you know, by looking at experiences of people, sometimes they say, what's the best thing if you're ever lost? Sometimes they tell you, just stay right where you're at, and we will find you. Now, after a while, if they're not making headway, you might say, well, I better fend for myself and get myself somewhere else because they're not coming. But begin to think. Begin to rationalize some things. And, of course, Lord, help me out of here. Give me a direction, you know. And so it's being able to sometimes just stay where you're at in that lost area of that situation in your life when things are going contrary. And say, okay, Lord, I'm staying right here until I get affirmation from you on what to do, where to go, how to do it. Because if I take out on my own, I'm going to be haphazard, trying willy-nilly this and this and that. And then all of a sudden, all I'm finding is I'm getting more scared. I'm getting more concerned. I'm finding out that I'm not finding my way out. And all of a sudden, things just become more and more upon you that you just start making irrational decisions. And then it really goes south from that. So we're getting back. Knowing God's word but not knowing how to apply it is foolishness and futile. Joshua helps us apply faithfully what we know about God's word. And that is, rely on God's strength and wisdom, not your own. We have to get to that point to where I need you, God. I can't do it on my own. I know you've given me a lot of abilities and my mind and thoughts and things of that nature, but I need you, Lord. Help me. We just sang that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's going to take those times in our lives of waiting upon the Lord, even in the midst of the storm and all whatever is breaking loose against you. You better learn to wait, even in the typhoon, even in the midst of, you know, a hurricane, whatever the case might be of things going around you in the natural, you better learn to be able to wait until you hear something that is that of God to direct your path. Give me a sign, Lord. That's why it's so important to be with Him every day in your devotions and reading His word and in prayer and meditation and just talking to God every day, day in and day out. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the evening, maybe in the afternoon, whatever. Just have a conversation with God so that He's always there with you. Because if He's always there with you, because He says He will be, He's everywhere, but we've got to make sure that we are staying connected to Him. And when those things come up during the daytime, I can quickly turn to Him because I'm with Him already and ask Him and ask for directions and turn it over to Him. Don't rely on your own strength and wisdom when dealing with sin. You know, and that's what gets us all, is sin. You know, to know to do good and not do it is sin. You know, all these things that God's word, sometimes we hear these things, and sin is sin, right? I don't care what you're doing, if it's not lining up with God and it's going against God and what he says to do, it's sin. So we find that, we get ourselves into that realm of that, and we think we can do it on our own, and we come to find out, and you can't do it on your own. But don't rely on your own strength and wisdom in dealing with sin. Be assured that without God, you will have no success. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. We sometimes don't want to wait for nothing. And I'm getting worse and worse as time goes on, you know. I've got to get myself to the point of just saying, calm down, Tim. Hold on for just a minute. So it takes, you know, a little longer to get something through the drive-through or opening up a program on the computer. I can just get myself so frazzled. But I find those times when I get that way, it's like, okay, Lord, okay, I'm just going to try to just relax. Just give me some time and go on and do something else, or wait, maybe, you know, the program on the computer will open up, you know, 5 minutes later. There's times around here, and just this week, back in the fellowship hall, just turning it on and trying to go through a program. I just wanted to turn some music on back there when I was doing some work around the church. I didn't get anywhere. And all I know is I'm looking at my watch, I go, for 25 minutes I've been standing here in the same spot watching this thing go through and reboot and undo and reboot and stop and go. And I'm like, Tim. So I thought, fine, I'll do whatever I can do, and I'll go do what I need to do. And then I checked back, and it had the same thing. It's like, well, okay. And it was just, you know, even Friday or so, it's just like you just start getting yourselves into these situations to where you look and you go, how long am I going to stand here and look at this computer screen dictate my life? It's like, I've done all that I can. I'll let it do its program, process, whatever, and I'll just go on. But it's learning the patience. It's learning that these things don't happen instantly all the time like we like. I think in today's society, for a while there, everything was going pretty good with the new computer age and everything coming online, that it was pretty quick at a time. Boom, 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 boom. And then we find out there's so much program, there's so much software, there's so much things running in the background of these things, that if you don't keep your operating system top-notch and the most high speed and the most memory and all these gig of stuff and gig of that, and my, the only thing I want to do is just gig that thing like you gig a fish, just break that thing, you know. It runs slower and slower and slower, and sometimes we get so frustrated in these days. It's like, okay, Lord, just walk away from it. You might have to walk away from some of these things in your life until maybe God finally continues to put all the pieces together. You know, God is working on it. But it's just like if I can sit there and watch this little ball rotating on my computer screen for 20 minutes, why can't I wait for God to process and do those things in my life, getting things organized and straightened out and rebooting what needs to be rebooted in my spiritual life, rebooting my thoughts maybe getting me to that point of, you know, Tim, if you're going to sit here and look at this little round thing going along, I'm just, why don't you think about me and praise me or worship me? You know, worship him in your down times. Praise him in those times when nothing seems to be taking place or working, but always be in connection with him, because we do not know what he's doing behind the scenes and working on our behalf. It's one thing to look at things in the natural by my eyesight, but it's the faithful walk that we walk when we can see things that are by the unseen. Faith is seeing those things that are not seen as though they are. And I have got to believe, and you have got to believe, that I'm not seeing God working in my current situation by the natural, but I, by faith, believe he's there working and orchestrating what I need to have accomplished. Is he doing that in your life, even this very day? I would hope you would say, yes, he is. He's working on my behalf. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he will strengthen you. After the praise in the first half of Psalm 27, the topic swings over to prayer, and it ends with a statement revealing the key to having victory in one's life. What is that? It ends with, wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait upon the Lord. We are not a people that like to wait. We've got to learn to, and to work on that level of our lives, to wait upon him. Some people go so much that it's like, how can God have any time to talk to them when they're like zip, 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 zip? It's really a lot of times why I like to be out here at the church and do different things. It's like, if nothing else, at least I'm going to be out here for 3 or 4 hours or 2 hours, whatever the case might be, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. I don't know, I had to play with that light up there because it wasn't working, and drug the big ladder out, climbed up there, and took the bulb out. Well, I shook it, and it came on, and I thought, nah, I'm not going to let it fool me. It's probably got a loose filament in it, and when I get back down, that filament will get hot, and then it'll be cool, and then it'll break off, and blah, 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 blah. So I take that bulb out, I go find another bulb, I take a new bulb, I put it in there, it doesn't work. Now I'm confused. So I take both bulbs, I go to a place in the back that we've got a little light thing, I put that in there, and it doesn't work in that either. I think, wow, is this bulb bad? Now I'm walking around here with two or three bulbs trying to find a socket that I can check these things to make sure which is right and which is wrong, which is burned out. What's going on? And I'm going all around here. I'm just like, I'm saying, really, Lord? I said, I just wanted to do one simple thing, fix that light. And now I'm up and down that ladder 3 or 4 times. And anyway, I found out that the bulb that was in there was good. Because I thought, well, okay, it came on, so I thought, I'm just going to jiggle that little socket that's up there. And I did, and it came on, and it stayed on. So anyway, every time I come in here now, I always look at it like, yeah, right, it's gonna burn out on me now. I don't have to get that big ladder out from underneath there and drag it out of here. But I have a wonderful time with God out here because it's just like, I always look at things that could be so simple, take some time. And it's like, Lord, what is going on? But then other things happen and they just go right away. But I find the times when I'm going through those, I guess, to be honest, when I go through those frustration times, like, what's going on? Well, I'm talking to God. Maybe that's when God says, well, the only time you're going to talk to me is when you're frustrated. Many times we find people only go to prayer when they are given a health situation. Oh, when's the last time you talked to God? It's been 5, 6, 8 years. Now all of a sudden they're crying out to him because now they got a health issue. It's like, hey, God, help me now. Pray you. I love you. Thank you for being there with me and all this stuff. And oh, I'm thankful that God has love, grace, and mercy, and he will deal with the people, and he'll probably take care of situations. I'm not saying that he won't. But God wants to be a God that we just talk to him every day. And if sometimes it's like, you know, me, if it's like, well, the only time you talk to me, Tim, is when you get frustrated and you're crying out to me, like, at least you're talking to me, you know. And God is really not giving me a whole lot of answer at times, but I'm talking to him a lot, and then I shut up. And I go, okay, we'll process this and process that and do this and do that. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun when God wants to get your attention. You may not be laughing, but he is. Because we're down here and I'm just like, oh boy, this and that. But then he's my God and I love him. And he's there for me and he's there for you. But it's time to wait upon the Lord. Anyway, remember, at the end of this psalm, he's talking about waiting on the Lord. Now this is coming out of, we can learn much. And this is David writing this because he's waiting. He had been anointed king at the age of 16, but he didn't become king until he was 30. That's a long time to wait. I anoint you king. Well, for us today, we're ready to take over right then. Not until the age of 30. And while he is waiting, he's being chased by a jealous king, that being Saul, throughout the wilderness. Wait, I'm the king. What are you talking about? Why are you chasing me around? After becoming king, David was chased by a rebellious son. So waiting for God is not easy. We may even think he didn't even hear our prayer. Anybody better? Have you ever said that to God? God, have you even heard my prayer? Now, we know that's fictitiously we say that because he hears it. We know it. But it's just for our own being. It's like, God, did you not hear my prayer? I prayed it for 100 times, and God said, I heard the first one. But it's going to be on my time when the answer comes, or I'm working in the situation in a way that you don't understand. You got to trust me. Be of encouragement. Be not dismayed. I heard you. So waiting for God is not easy. We may even think that he didn't even hear our prayer. In those times of waiting, we should make good use of this time by discovering what God may be trying to teach us. When you get into those situations, do you ever get to the point, do you finally say, Lord, I have begun to do that. Lord, what am I to learn in this? What do you want to teach me in this situation? Because I want to tell you, if you learn and ask that, and he tells you, and you learn that example or that situation then, there's a good chance you're not going to go around that mountain again. And it's going to be there to build you up and to give you encouragement and to give you focus, to give you direction, to fulfill that call on your life that God has for you. Remember we talked about, we've heard that word predestined this morning, I think. Predestined, a plan even before you were born that you have been predestined for something good. Everybody has been born with a predestination of something good. It is sad to see how many people don't reach that fulfillment because of the devil, the god of this world, and the things and their pride, whatever the sin in their life. They're too prideful to ask for forgiveness. They think they can do it on their own. Or I'll just be a good person and that'll work it all out and things will be hunky-dory. No, it's none of that at all. You got to just humble yourself, admit you're a sinner, believe Christ died for you, ask for forgiveness, let his blood cleanse you, and begin to change your life. You're not living a changed life if you keep going back to what you just came out of, are you? We have a lot of people in Christian circles that speak a good thing of following Christ and doing the right thing, and then after a time we find that they're right back to where they started. It's like, well, wait a minute. What happened? They tried, and God bless them for trying, but something happened. I think a lot of it is they're very prideful. They're very to themselves and what I can do and I can take care of this. And I'm going to tell you what, alcohol, drugs, pornography, running around, promiscuity, all of these things that you come out of, if you don't turn it over to God and say, God, I am not able to handle this. That particular sin is stronger than I am, but I know it's not stronger than you are. And we've got to flip that switch. Talk about the sin. We've got to get that sin turned over to him and act and work within his power and strength. Because I'm going to tell you, we're weak in the flesh. We're weak in ourselves because our flesh overpowers our thoughts a lot. All these things works within us. And we got to get to that person, individual, myself included. I've got to always be realization knowing that, Lord, I am weak, but your word says, where I am weak, you are strong. We got to get past pride to say, Lord, I am not able to handle this on my own. I need you. Too many people out there go, I can do it myself. And the devil says, he's going to have your lunch. And a lot of these people, men, women, whatever, they go back through that same knothole over and over again, because they're so prideful of who they are and they think that I've got this and I've got that and nothing's going to happen. Pride goes before the fall, God's word says. He's given us all of these verbiages, all of these verses, all of these things to be aware of, and yet why aren't we aware of them? I admit it, I'm a weak person, but I need God in my life to keep me strong. And when we get to that realization, then God becomes God in my life to where I am in his strength, in his power, working through me. Hallelujah. Now, in John 16:33 is where we'll kind of about ready to wrap it up here. In John 16:33, John 16:33. Talking about Jesus in verse 25, the caption at the top says, Jesus has overcome the world. These things that I have spoken to you in verse 25 in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Verse 26, John 16:26. In that day you will ask in my name, and I will do not, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father. Now his disciples say to him, well, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe you. You came forth from God. Verse 31, and Jesus says, do you now believe? Verse 32, indeed the hour is coming, yes, has come, that you will be scattered, each of you, or each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have, or that you may have peace. And in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You will have tribulation. Tribulation here is talking about pressure, oppression. You will have stress and anguish, adversity, afflictions, crushings, squashing, squeezing, distress. Boy, I'll tell you what. Whew, I don't know if I want that. In the world, you will have all of these things, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Even as followers of Christ, we should expect continuing tension with an unbelieving world that is not in line with Christ. And the good news that he brings, it's hard out there in the world. It's hard to share this good news in a world that is not connected to him. But at the same time, we can expect our relationship with Christ to produce peace and comfort because we are in sync with him. That's how we can be in sync and be at peace and be calm in a situation where the world is going crazy and out of whack and everything's happening and we go, my gosh, how much crazier can it get? And it's going to get even crazier. But I can stand as a child of God and be at peace and be at comfort because I'm in sync with him. I connect to him every day, every day, every day. That's like, here again, get back to your computer terminology and computer stuff. You know, there's updates that these programs put out there, and they're out there just about every day, whether it's a virus program or the main program for your main thing. They have these places and these companies that have these programs. They're always doing an update to correct something that is at error or to bring something better improvement in it. And to do that, you almost have to check some of these programs about every day or every other day or two or three times a week to update, to keep current with the current operating of that system. And when we don't do that, we find that we haven't updated or in-synced our computer after like 3 to 5 months, and we're going, why is it bogging down? Why is it slow? Why is this not working right? And had we synced it 3 months ago with a new updated program or a new updated thing that they had worked on, it would have corrected that particular problem and everything would have been working fine. But if you don't do that on a consistent basis, you get really backlogged on keeping your operating and your program up to date on the things that they're fixing. And we get so frustrated. And that's with God. If we don't stay in sync with God every day to keep this download coming, that I'm going to have the tools, I'm going to have the spirit, I'm going to have whatever it is to take on the challenges of today, the challenges of this upcoming week, that, you know, when things go contrary, like out in that boat, the wind was contrary to where they wanted to go, you're going to have some contrary in your week this week. Be prepared, but be prepared by having God already there with you because you're in sync with him and he's already downloading stuff to you. And he may even be giving you some protection and warnings to say, caution, caution. Remember on the old series of, thank you, honey. Lost, how did you know I was thinking of that? Lost in Space, that little robot there, and you know, that robot go, danger, Will Robinson, danger, Will Robinson. Bah, 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 bah. This little robot guy was sensing all the things around him, and he'd go, danger, danger, danger. He was forewarning them, danger. God will do the same thing, but the Holy Spirit will tell you, cautious, watch out, be on your guard, for the devil is seeing who he can kill, steal, and destroy. He sneaks around like a thief, and he's going to steal what he can from you. So we got to be in sync with God every day. You've got to have the updated operating system all the time. You know, things. You know, his mercies are new every morning. You go through this life, you need to be connected all the time. But we're in sync with him. And that's how we can be at peace and in comfort, even when things are just chaotic around us. So Jesus shares with his disciples to take courage, even in times of inevitable struggles that they're going to face. Take courage, because you too are going to have inevitable struggles that you're going to face sometime here. They would not be alone. Jesus will not abandon them. Jesus does not abandon us in our struggles either. Remember, the ultimate victory has already been won. We can claim the peace of Christ in the most troublesome times. And that's the thing you've got to stand on. And sometimes you've got to just tell the old enemy, the devil, you are defeated. You're a defeated foe. Oh, he's still going around trying to keep people, you know, frustrated and aggravated, and he's trying to do whatever they will allow him to do. Are you giving the devil place in your life by giving him the ability to do it because you're asking him or you're inviting him in because of the things that you're a part of or not doing or not staying with God or the things you get tied into? Could be a many of variable things. I'm just saying, be careful that you don't give the enemy a foothold to come in. A foothold to come in could be if you're aggravated with somebody and you don't forgive them. Oh, God says you need to forgive. If you don't love somebody, I hate that person. You just gave the devil a foothold to come in because you said, I hate that person. And that's like God or Jesus said, hate is just like murder. So be careful of what we say. Be careful of what we think. And always be watchful of what those things are being said in your life. And you will do that because you're in sync with Christ. If you stay in sync with the Holy Spirit telling you and teaching you and showing you these things. Many times he has helped me so many times that when I have done something dumb, I have felt it in my spirit to where I can quickly say, that wasn't good, God. I didn't represent you well. I didn't say that well. I didn't say that the way I should have. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Be quick to repent. Be quick to ask for that forgiveness. And he's there for that to be taken care of. It's that same blood that was spilt upon the cross over 2,000 years ago is the same blood that cleanses you of your sins today. But you got to cry out. You got to call out for it. You have got to. God is not automatically going to repent you on his own time. You've got to come to him and repent and ask for forgiveness. And then it's there. Hallelujah. Hopefully today you'll walk out of here maybe dismayed, disenchanted with things, but realization knowing that there is a way, that God has it prepared for you, and it just needs to be where you connect God on a daily basis, whatever it is, and get that direction from him. Amen. We'll go ahead and receive.